نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. I'm now going to talk to you about the next half, the second half of Surah Ali Imran. Surah Ali Imran, as I mentioned in the earlier presentation, is comprised of two almost equal components. In the first passage, it talks about the basic theme of Jesus Christ's birth and his prophetic mission, and clarifies all misunderstandings about it that were raised by the Christians. And it also goes on to talk to the people of the books with regard to the misunderstandings that they had created and responds to those misunderstandings. In this half of the surah, which begins from verse 100 and goes on to the end of the surah, which is verse 200, the Quran is in particular addressing the Muslims and discussing various aspects of their moral and spiritual upliftment. Verses 100 and 101 are talking to the believers and asking them not to follow the disbelievers from amongst the Jews and the Christians, because if they're going to follow their instructions, then they're going to be misled and would be deprived of their faith. The Quran, from verses 102 to 110, asks Muslims to fear Allah and fear Him in a manner which is befitting, and asks them to hold fast to the rope of Allah and be not disintegrated. Because if they are going to hold fast to the rope of Allah, they'll be all together. This rope, beyond doubt, is the book of Allah. If the Muslims are to be united under the one umbrella of the book of God, it is going to ensure that they'll have no disunity, that they'll have the same source to rely upon. Indeed, they can differ in the interpretation of the book, but the fact that everybody is following the same book is in itself a very important reason and cause of unity amongst the believers. So that the Quran has given a very clear recipe to all Muslims for the problem of disunity and disagreement, and that is to always make sure that the book of God is their ultimate source of finding out what the truth is and what the solution to the different differences of opinion that emerge amongst them. After having mentioned this, the Almighty goes on to ask the believers to ensure that within their system there has to be an arrangement whereby people are invited all throughout consistently towards goodness, virtue and piety, and that the system also ensures that all acts of impiety and evil are discouraged in the Muslim society. The Muslim society is required to be an embodiment of goodness, of piety, of submission to God Almighty, and that cannot be done unless the system makes sure that there is an inbuilt arrangement for the people to be constantly reminded of what their ultimate purpose in this life is. We then move on to the next part of the surah, that is verses 111 to 120, which are talking about the attitude of the people of the book, who were trying to do as best as they could to refrain people from coming to close to the message of God. The Quran says that such people and their designs would not succeed because they are based on a very flimsy basis which is not going to prevail. And the Quran gives confidence to the believers that if they are going to be true to their faith and to the message, then they are the ones who are going to prevail. And the Quran, as ever, also clarifies that people of the book who are trying to conspire against the Muslims and the faith of the Muslims, they are not all alike. Some of them are the ones who really fear God Almighty. They stand up in the nights and pray to God and bow down before Him, and they are truth-seeking. However, most of the people who were residing in the city of Medina and its outskirts amongst the Jews and the Christians did not belong to the category of those who are really truth-seeking and pious people. Then we move on to the most significant part of this segment of the surah, which is verses 121 to 189. In this part of the surah, the Almighty has described the events of the Battle of Uhud and the circumstances within which that battle was fought, and the kind of responses that the Muslims and other groups had offered. Bear in mind that the Quran is not a book of history. The Quran does not give you the description of the various events in a manner that you will have a complete idea of what exactly happened. The Quran is a book of guidance. It guides people about how to behave properly, morally correctly, and how to behave in a manner that the Almighty is pleased, and that all that leads to His displeasure is shunned and done away with. So that you can pick various events that have been made the subject of discussion in the Quran, but you cannot bring out the entire description of the Battle of Uhud from within the verses of the Quran, so that what we have learned from the history of the life of the Prophet, may Allah's mercy be on him, when we keep that in mind and read the verses of Surah Ali Imran with regard to the description that it has given of Battle of Uhud, we would know quite clearly which aspects of the battle the Almighty is referring to. So that the Quran tells us that the Battle of Uhud was fought, and there were various different groups amongst the Muslims that emerged. There were those Muslims who were really devoted, true to the cause of Islam, and were ever prepared to fight and die for the sake of God Almighty. There were people who, although posed to be Muslims, but in fact they were not, and therefore they belonged to the group of hypocrites. And there were still other Muslims who, although had converted to Islam, yet they were not completely convinced about the truthfulness and veracity of it. And therefore, their position was always changing and dithering. They were not fully devoted to the cause of Islam. They used to lend their ears to the evil whispering done by the hypocrites. So that all these different groups were there at the time when the Battle of Uhud was fought against the army of the disbelievers that had come from Mecca to conquer and invade the Muslims' city of Medina. There were many questions that were raised by the people of the book and the hypocrites, which were causing problems for the weak Muslims, that were addressed and answered by the Almighty. And this really has led this part of the surah to be extremely important and significant for all those Muslims who would want to become stronger Muslims, who would want to ensure that when they are dealing with their practical matters, affairs in life, they do not resort to measures, things and actions which are done by people who are not truly Muslims. They know the right course of action, because we have the privilege in the Quran of the description of a real event, a real battle that took place, along with the comments of the Almighty on the behavior and attitude of various different groups who participated in that battle. There are a number of questions that have been addressed and answered in this particular part of the surah. I'll just mention some of them. For instance, it is mentioned in this particular passage that there were some Muslims who were given to believe that Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's mercy be on him, died during this battle. This rumor had spread, and because it had spread, it caused a number of believers to be influenced by the information. They got dejected and disappointed and lost their heart and stopped participating in the battle anymore, because they had this feeling that if the Prophet had died, then what was their point to involve in that battle anymore? The Almighty described the understanding of the believers in a way that if there are people who believe that the Prophet has died, and therefore there was no point in moving on to help the cause of Islam anymore, they should know that all messengers die, all humans die. What are you going to do if the messenger dies? Are you going to show your back on the religion that you had accepted and converted to because you were convinced? Of course, all believers have to make sure that no matter whatever circumstances they go through, whatever hardships they confront, they have to make sure that if they have committed to the cause of Islam, to the message of the Almighty, they have got to adhere to it and follow it diligently and all its spirits, no matter whatever the circumstances. So that this particular incident of the rumor of the Prophet's death was chosen by the Almighty as one of the occasions to help Muslims understand as to what exactly should have been their attitude if they would have heard about the probable death of the Prophet. Likewise, the Almighty comments on the fact that certain Muslims who were asked by the Prophet during the Battle of Uhud to not move away from the place where they had been asked to stay until the end of the battle was declared clearly, they did not follow the Prophet's instructions and they went away from the position that they were given to secure and to be there for all times of the battle. This particular move of those soldiers caused a lot of harm to the Muslims in general, because the enemies came back after having been repelled from the battlefield through the back door of the hills, and they, because that part of the passage was not properly secured and guarded by the Muslims, they got the passage to enter from the back of the Muslim army, and heavy casualties were inflicted upon the Muslims because of the lax of the soldiers and their lack of commitment to the orders of the messenger. The Almighty comments that this happened primarily because of the fact that those who did not obey the Prophet's instructions, they were dissuaded from following his instructions by the Satan simply because they had done certain things in the past which were evil. And because of those evil deeds, they had within themselves the possibility of Satan influencing their mind, their thought process, and inclining them to do things which were wrong still further. In other words, what the Quran is telling us is that if we do certain things which are wrong deliberately and we do not care to seek repentance from God Almighty, then those earlier wrong deeds can lead us to commit even further bad deeds, because Satan gets the opportunity to influence our minds and hearts because of the weakness that is created within us as a consequence of us doing things which are bad and then we not repenting for it. Also, the Quran clarifies to the people while describing the events of the Battle of Uhud that the Almighty required the Muslims to go through the events, different aspects of the battle, to ensure that he picks those Muslims who are really genuinely attached to the faith and separates them from those who are not seriously involved in the understanding and following of the message. In other words, on the one hand, the disbelievers, the hypocrites, and the weak Muslims were raising this question over and over again as to why is it that the Almighty had to require Muslims to go through the process of fighting the enemies in the battlefield. Could it not be that his message could have prevailed on its own through God Almighty's sending of his angels and his own divine decision-making process, not involving the humans? The answer provided by the Almighty is that he did so that he could pick those people whose hearts have been truly cleansed through their commitment that they have shown in the way of Allah. And this could have only been possible if they were given to go through the trial of a battle wherein they are confronted with the enemies in the battlefield, their lives in danger, and yet they show full commitment to ensure that their faith and their ideology prevails over others. This process of separating and picking the good believers from those who are not committed could not have been possible without Muslims going through the details of the Battle of Uhud. Another aspect clarified in this surah with regard to the Battle of Uhud is that there were many hypocrites and the weak Muslims who were trying to raise this question that those who died during the battle died unnecessarily and they've lost their lives, which really has been a great problem failure for them. The Quran, on the other hand, clarifies that those who died during the battlefield of Uhud, they died in that field not as a consequence of the fact that they were just there incidentally. They were fighting for the cause of Allah, and as a result of dying, they are actually given to lead a life of success immediately. They are right close to the Almighty after they died, and they are being fed by provisions which we cannot even imagine in this world. They are happy and rejoicing at the fact that they have succeeded in the worldly life of trial, and not only that, they're also looking forward to being joined by their other partners who are as yet going through the life of this trial. So that on the one hand, hypocrites, the people of the book, and some of those who were getting influenced by them had this notion of understanding that those who died had actually been a failure. The Quran, on the other hand, declares that they are complete success, and their success is so clear, so obvious, and so profound that it has already begun, and the Quran describes what is happening to them while they are getting the results of this success right close to the Almighty. In other words, this particular passage of the surah is actually employing the different events that the Muslims went through, the Battle of Uhud, to help them cleanse and purify their souls so as to become the people who would ultimately be declared eligible to enter the paradise. The last part of the surah is the one which responds to certain questions and allegations raised by the people of the book, who used to ask the believers as well as the Prophet to be presented with clear signs. Especially it is mentioned in this particular surah that they were demanding that they be shown a sign whereby a certain sacrificial animal gets completely eaten away by a fire that would come from the heaven. And they claimed that this is the sign that they had been given to demand from all people who claim to be prophets. The Quran says that this kind of a sign has never been required for any of the prophets. But at the end of this surah, the Almighty says that this world, the way it has been designed, the heavens, the stars, the sun and the moon, the rainfall, the winds, the oceans, the plants, the animals, everything is a sign of the Almighty for one to look at, for one to believe in, and one to understand that this life cannot be a life of this world alone. It has to be complemented by another life. Those people who are really contemplating and reflecting, those people who are really open-minded, and with this attitude of open-mindedness, they look at what is in their surroundings, they are most certainly going to be inclined to accept that this life of ours has been created by the Almighty, who has all the great attributes, and He is going to ensure that a life hereafter emerges which takes care of all the woes and all the flaws of this worldly life. So the Quran says that those who ponder and reflect at the signs that the Almighty has scattered all around us, they are, after contemplating and looking at those signs, they exclaim, Rabbana ma khalaqta haza batila. O our Lord, You have not created all this for no reason. Subhanaka, You are free from all such errors and weaknesses that You do something which is without reason. Faqina azab an-nar. So save us from the fire of hell. In other words, what they're saying is that we do not need any other sign. This world itself is full of signs. And if somebody has the right attitude and the right way of looking at the world, then signs are abounding. They are all across. The surah ends in verse 200 by asking the believers to be patient and to be perseverant even more than their enemies, and to always prepare themselves against the onslaught and the threats of the enemies, and fear Allah so that they may prevail. So that with this verse, great surah ends, and so does end the pair of the surahs of Al-Baqarah and Ali Imran, which on the one hand is inviting the people of the book to have faith in God Almighty, His message, and the Quran, and on the other hand is giving various different instructions to the Muslims to improve themselves and to be the befitting believers and followers of His message. May the Almighty enable us to understand His book, and may He enable us to follow it properly.